on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, and this week I have a quick and dirty tip about commas and semicolons with transition words, and a tidbit about why we call something a double whammy. 2 weeks ago, we talked about comma splices, errors that happen when you join two main clauses with just a comma. But you can make the same kind of mistake, if you aren't careful, when joining two main clauses with conjunctive adverbs, such as however, therefore, furthermore, and nevertheless. Remember, a main clause, also known as an independent clause, is just something that could be a complete sentence if it were all by itself. If you're joining two main clauses with a conjunctive adverb, you need a semicolon before that adverb, and a comma after. That adverb needs to be snuggled between a semicolon and a comma. Think about this example. Imagine I'm worried about a library book that's due tomorrow. I'm not finished reading it, semicolon. Moreover, comma, I left it at Steve's house. I'm not finished reading it is a main clause, and I left it at Steve's house is also a main clause. So I need a semicolon before, moreover, and a comma after it. Or, in the same way you can fix a comma splice with a period, I could also separate the two main clauses here with a period. I'm not finished reading it, period. Moreover, comma, I left it at Steve's house. And now, this is where it gets tricky, because sometimes conjunctive adverbs come in the middle of your sentence and aren't followed by a main clause. And then you can just sandwich them between two commas. Here are some examples of sentences like that. I'll wager, comma, moreover, comma, that the library won't cut me any slack on the fine. Fines are, comma, however, comma, an important tool the library uses to get people to return books on time. In both those sentences, the part after the adverb isn't a main clause, so I just used a comma before and after the words moreover and however. The same rules apply to transition words and phrases such as for example, in other words, and on the other hand. If you're joining two main clauses, you use a semicolon and a comma, just like you did before. But if the part after the transition isn't a main clause, then you just use two commas. First, think about this example. I might be able to get it back in time, semicolon. For example, comma, I could ask Steve to bring it by before work. I might be able to get it back in time is a main clause. And so is I could ask Steve to bring it by before work. So I snuggle, for example, between a semicolon and a comma. But now think about this one. I could ask Steve to bring it by, comma, for example, comma, before work or during his lunch hour. Now the part after for example is just a couple of prepositional phrases, before work or during his lunch hour, not a main clause, so you don't need a semicolon. You just use two commas, one before, for example, and one after. It all depends on whether the part that comes after the transition is a main clause or not. And it's easy to get distracted. But just remember, with a main clause after your transition word, you need a semicolon before and a comma after. And without a main clause, you can get away with two commas. As usual, you can find the transcript of this podcast at quickanddirtytips.com. And this week, I also put a few sentences you can practice on at the end of the page. Just search the site for the title Commas with Transition Words. And now, on to the tidbit. Have you ever been hit with a double whammy? It's a double dose of luck so bad it feels like a 1-2 punch. Maybe your rent came due the same day as your car payment. That's a double whammy. Or your girlfriend dumped you right after you lost your job. Ouch, double whammy. But what's a whammy, and why exactly does it come in pairs? From the best we can tell, whammy came into use in the 1940s. It probably came from the rather dull wham, meaning a blow, made cute and fanciful with a Y ending. Back then, it was used to denote a hex or evil influence. Whammy showed up frequently in sports coverage. For example, if your baseball team were losing, you might complain that someone put a whammy on you. The term double whammy came into play a little bit later. Its origins can be traced back to the Little Abner comics by cartoonist Al Capp. A 1951 strip features Evil Eye Flegel, a zoot suit wearing native of Brooklyn. In the comic, Flegel boasts that he can putrefy citizens just by giving them his evil eye. One eye's a single whammy, but if he stares at them with, quote, the full power of both eyes, well, according to Flegel, that's a double whammy, quote, which I hopes I never have to use, unquote. Look out. Though its association with actual curses has since faded, the term double whammy still means bad things are afoot and remains a useful expression to this day. Just hope you never have to use it. So that's your tidbit for today. A double whammy is a double dose of misfortune. That segment was written by Samantha Enslin, who runs Dragonfly Editorial. You can find her at dragonflyeditorial.com or on Twitter as DragonflyEdit. Thanks to the people who told me where they listen this week. Larry is a mental health therapist with the Department of Veterans Affairs and listens while feeding pygmy goats and tending to his beehives. They're amazing. And Laura said hello from the International Language Association headquarters in Newark, Delaware. Keep up the good work transforming lives through literacy, Laura. Grammar Girl is part of the Quick and Dirty Tips podcast network. Search your podcasting app for Quick and Dirty Tips to see all our other shows. And did you know that I've written 7 books about language? Just search for Grammar Girl at your favorite online bookstore. I'm Mignon Fogarty. That's all. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.